3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Welcome to this week's episode of the No Normal Show, brought to you by BPD. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust. And instead, we celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, and the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm your co-host, Stephanie Weirwill, EVP of Engagement here at BPD, and I'm joined by Chris Wickline, SVP of Strategy. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm excited for there might be a special guest on your side, right? A special background guest?
Oh, my God. My cat has, like, this little radar detector. He must see the microphone go up, and he's like, I must make myself heard. So, yes, Max wants to be a star.
Okay, well, Max might have a take on today's topic. Today's topic is a headline that's hot off the press from this week. So this is going to be one of our short, bite-sized news flash by No Normal episodes, where we keep it tight, but not light, because this is a complex topic. We've been discussing, gosh, it's been years now, I think, of the coming of the deprecation of third-party cookies. Down with cookies. And then Google said, nope, never mind. So we're coming to you on Tuesday, July 23rd of 2024 to talk about how Google has just now, as of yesterday, announced that they're delaying the removal of third-party cookies. So before I get into I'll give a little bit of a background on this in context. Chris, were you surprised by this headline?
Well, yeah, considering, I should have added a little bit more emphasis there. Considering this has been a topic that we've been talking about for years, and there's been delays, and now all of a sudden really kind of more of an abrupt kind of about face. Hey, we're finding other alternatives. So yeah, I think the whole industry is looking with interest.
Yeah. I mean, it's been building for a while, but the announcement certainly felt abrupt. So I'll give a bit of a overview of it, and then we can talk about what it means and what we think. So as of, again, yesterday, Monday, July 22nd, Google announced that they're no longer killing third-party cookies, and instead will keep them operational for now. And so what they'll do is introduce a new system in Chrome. So this is really focused on Google browsers and the Google system. But they're going to be putting the power to the user's hands. So allowing users to make more informed choices about how their data is tracked across websites. We don't have the full details. We can, of course, make some assumptions. There's a little bit that we know from a blog they released and news coverage. But that's the gist for now. And to your point, Chris, about how we've been talking about this for a while and there's been delays, this decision comes after Google has received a lot of feedback from publishers, regulators, policymakers, developers, and folks have said, hey, we really need more time to really evaluate and test new privacy preserving technologies. And so that's been sort of this privacy sandbox initiative. And specifically in February, UK policymakers asked Google to pause the phase out of cookies over antitrust concerns. So there's been quite a bit of noise. And of course, on the advertiser side, advertisers have hopefully been preparing. But we'll talk more about continuing or not to prepare. And so that's the gist. So I'm going to pause there and see, Chris, at first, you know, this is less than 24 hours out. So what is your initial view on this change?
Well, I think, you know, based on everything that, you know, that I'm seeing out in the media, it's really kind of now trying to understand what in fact Google will do next, right? And I think the hypothesis is that they're going to perhaps adopt a landscape that's similar to what iOS has done with app tracking transparency, which is, you know, advertisers can still use an identifier, but it reaches less people because folks like us have the opportunity to either opt in and opt out. And in fact, most people in those in that circumstance do choose to opt out. So again, it's putting, you know, and as Google has described, it's really putting the power in the hands of the consumer to make their own choice.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This is a bit of a power to the people move, but it also answers, you know, advertisers and publishers and regulators' need. So it does a bit of both. And maybe I'll just ask you, Chris, we were chatting about this earlier. You know, do you personally control your data privacy in terms of opting in or out of various cookies, either on Apple or browsers?
Well, on my browser, I don't. For the most part, I accept everything. And part of the reason is it's more of a convenience factor. It's more of this notion that when I go back to regular websites that I visit, I kind of want that recognition, right? I want to be known. I would say though, that when I'm looking at app tracking, I'm much more cautious and careful about the extent to which I allow that tracking. So I think it's an interesting difference and something I'm using on a regular basis. I'm less likely to do it, but on apps where I have the creep factor of, wait, what? You're looking at what I'm doing, not just with you, but elsewhere. I say, I'm out. What about you? How do you look at it?
Well, yeah, thank you for sharing that. You know, from my standpoint, I certainly occasionally block or opt out from the Apple standpoint, but I never do when it comes to browsers and third-party cookies specifically. I think the reason for that is when prompted on an Apple device, when given a nudge, you know, people are likely, much more likely to actually make a decision or a change versus you know, doing a little bit more work for it. But I also happen to really like personalized ads and I'm an advertiser. So, you know, I'm like, take my data. But that said, Chris, I think you found some interesting stats about what does the majority do? So, you know, you and I have shared our anecdotes, but what does the data say about how the majority of users are treating this?
Well, I mean, you know, we've seen this stat, but every time I see it, it still surprises me because I'm not among them, right? Google, you know, 40% of Chrome users have already disabled cookies, right? So again, we tend to forget that, but that's, you know, that's a good chunk of people when you consider the share of the share of market that Google has in the browser space, right? And the share of the market that Chrome has. So it's pretty Absolutely. Significant already.
It is. And, you know, there's other browsers out there too, although I'm certainly a Chrome loyal user, but Firefox has restricted third-party cookies long ago. So no other major browser has completely gotten rid of them yet. But I think it's important to know that cookies have already started to, you know, be deprecated over the years. So let's transition to what should healthcare marketers do? I think first of all, healthcare marketers and marketers in general may read these headlines and take a sigh of relief, but I would say don't let that sigh last longer than maybe the 24 hours that it already has. Mm-hmm. Now is not the time to pause work on data infrastructure or first party data or personalized marketing, and certainly not privacy compliance. So I think if we gave a too long didn't read, too long didn't listen to headline, it would be continue to prepare for a post-cookie future, continue to leverage the advantages of first-party data, and stay the course. Chris, what else would you recommend for marketers, or how would you unpack that?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, a key part of it is continue to focus on relevance. Continue to focus on relevance as kind of a way to attract the people that you're targeting. Relevance becomes more and more and more critical, right? As part of the equation. And, you know, also looking at, you know, reducing your reliance on cookies, continues just to build trust with your audience. I mean, you know, we were just talking about it a few minutes ago when offered the opportunity, many consumers do opt out. What we don't talk about is what that does in terms of building trust, right? And, you know, and how important that trust is, which is a healthcare organization, is probably the single most important emotion that you need to create in terms of connection with the consumers that you're serving.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I would add to that, you know, privacy continues to be a hot topic. That's not going to change. And especially as users gain more control, let's say, for example, that Google does follow in Apple's footsteps and give more control to the user. Just to be clear, it is different, of course, right? Like Apple is giving people the ability to control the data tracking that's happening across apps and with apps. In this case, this is more focused on third-party cookies across browsers. But regardless, it may lead to individuals becoming even more educated about data privacy. So I wonder, how can healthcare marketers, and healthcare is the industry in which people need to trust the most, how can we put privacy first? And not just put it first, because hopefully we all already are, but build trust and message about how we put it first. Now, that's really difficult in an environment where every time you turn around, it feels like there's data breaches and outages and whatnot. But I think it's a key opportunity of just how can we build trust with audiences?
Yeah, I mean, it's a foundational tenet of kind of the service that we offer, right? I mean, this isn't Absolutely. Buying TVs, as you mentioned earlier, Stephanie. Intensely Yes. personal.
Right. Yes. I was sharing that I've been shopping for some upgraded TVs and have really been enjoying being tracked, if you will, in my shopping journey and getting personalized ads. That is not the same experience that consumers want to have when it comes to healthcare services. And we know that. So really investing in first party data, investing in helpful and consent approved and opt-in ways to personalize experiences is key. And we covered that on a recent episode where we talked about precision marketing and how BPD has really been working towards this pixel-less / cookie-less universe for a long time with some hyper-personalized offerings for marketers. So I think we would just say double down, don't stop, don't pause. If and when the cookie crumbles, you need to be prepared.
Yes. Sound advice. Stay the course.
Okay. I have to drop my, what is that movie where they say, and that's how the cookie crumbles?
I'm not
Bruce
sure.
Bruce Almighty? I think it's Bruce Almighty.
Oh my goodness. I don't remember.
Okay. Well, anything else you want to add, Chris, or do you think that sums us up for today's quick hit newsflash?
Well, as always, since this is just literally, since the cookie just dropped, right? As always, kind of stay tuned. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, the distillation of this kind of continues to be played out in the media and also the downstream impact. So one to watch.
You're right. I think we didn't mention, speaking of media, and I don't know if this is a correlation, causation, or what, but Google's stock price really bounced back yesterday at this announcement. Now, it could have just been part of the broader tech rally, but I think certainly interesting to watch and see how does the industry and Wall Street and regulators react to this, and how does data privacy continue to be in the narrative, especially in an election season that is also constantly changing. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, that's a whole nother topic that I think we're going to have to tackle at some point here.
Next time. Okay. Well, join us next time. And thank you for joining us today. And as always, if you would like to chat, we are available at nonormal@bpdhealthcare.com. Until next time, don't be satisfied with the normal. Don't be satisfied with cookies or third-party data. Push that first party, push that data infrastructure, push that privacy. And we'll talk to you all soon. 3